Amen. Praise the Lord. Children's church. Yep. All the little kids. Amen, right? Love children. So, amen. Thank you guys for praying for Lynn, her mother. We'll know more in a couple more days. We'll see how it goes. God's in control. He had me prepare this message. Maybe if it was just for me and her. Amen. I thank Miss Mary for hosting an awesome women's meeting last week. Just thank you. Did a lot extra, above and beyond. We love you and thank you for that. It meant a lot. Right, ladies? Yeah, that's super. All right, we're going to be in the book of John this morning. John 14:27, New King James Version. John chapter 14, verse 27. I think everyone's here. If you're visiting, we welcome you. If you're coming back and fellowshipping with us, we welcome you and we thank you and for being here. Praise the Lord, right? So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the precious music and Angela and Tammy and Gary. Lord, we thank you for their ministry and their time here. Lord, we thank you for them. Lord, we lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we ask as you bless this time we have together. Lord, you help me share this, what you put on my heart this week. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John chapter 14, verse 27. I'm going to take my watch off. It's bothering me. All right, so Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen? So we're going to talk about this morning. Jesus gives us three things in this verse to help us when we feel anxious and or fearful. So this morning we're going to talk about anxiety and what the Bible says about anxiety. Now, if you'll notice here in this scripture, Jesus gives us three things. So if you're taking notes, write these down. Number one, he's encouraging us, he's telling us to accept his peace. It's a gift. Number two, don't allow your soul to be anxious. He uses the word heart here. When you look that up in the Greek, we all know it. It means soul, mind, will, and emotions. So you're going to hear me talk about that a lot in the next few decades, hopefully. So number three is don't let it be afraid. So the two is accept his peace. It's a gift. Number two is don't allow your soul to be anxious. And number three, and don't let it be afraid. Now, anxiety can hit us from all directions, as we know this week. Whether it be school stress for you young guys, you know, heard Shannon talking about college, you know, school stress, maybe work stress, maybe a stressful family situation, or anything in life that causes us to feel unsettled or maybe fearful about the future. Anxiety can make us feel like that it's taking over our lives. So I'm not going to ask hands to be raised, but a lot of folks struggle with anxiety. They struggle with worry and concern, being overly concerned and worried. Now, as someone who used to struggle with anxiety, I know how hard it is to find peace in the midst of a stressful time or maybe a fearful situation. Okay, so when we feel anxious about something, we normally try to do all that is in our power to try to control the situation. That's what most people do. And then when we can't control this anxiety, we become even more anxious. And boy, the devil can use that, right? He can really come in there and start making accusations and telling you lies and all this crazy stuff. So how do we stop this downward spiral that happens sometimes when we feel anxious? We must turn to the one who is in control of all things, like Mr. Frankie prayed this morning. We must turn to the one who is in control of all things. Everybody say all things. God holds all of our lives in His hands. And He is the only one who can calm our anxieties. And this is how He normally does this. God will either come into your life and touch your heart and heal you, or He'll show us what we need to do. I've seen those Moses miracles where someone comes in and heals somebody of depression or anxiety. I've seen those. Well, for a lot of us, we have to do it the old-fashioned way, right? We've got to do some work. There's some things that we need to do, and we have to do. Now, let's back up to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Listen closely. You're all familiar with the scripture, I know. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. In my career as a professional counselor, I've found that anxiety falls into one of these two areas. Now, you got to remember, this is not something I read out of a textbook somewhere, and that's good in itself. This is real life information that I've gathered over 25 years working in the mental health field. I have found that anxiety is either a physical or a mental problem. It's either physical or mental. Sometimes it's a little both. Okay? But this morning, I'd like to talk to you about these two things, the physical and mental. But first, let's talk about the physical. Now, give me about 5 or 6 minutes here. It's going to seem like a seminar, but give me 5 or 6 or 7.5 minutes, and let's talk about the physical part of what I'm talking about. Now, as we just read, God made us from the dirt, and He breathed into us life. And we became a living soul. And this soul, now that's, you know, I am a spirit. And I'll say this 1,000 times. I'm a broken record sometimes. I'm a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in this body. And same for you if you're a believer. You, the real Dallas Ben, is a spirit. I'm an awesome spirit being. You know, and I've been saved and born again and baptized and sealed, and I'm going to heaven, and that's my home and that's my destination. I live in victory in Jesus. I am a spirit. Now I have a soul. It's my mind, it's my will, and it's my emotions. Same for you. That's your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And I happen to live in this body. So I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in this body. This is my earth suit. All right? You've heard me say that before. Okay? My spirit is saved, my soul is being saved, and my body will one day be saved. That's a whole other message. Neuroscientists tell us about 80% of our anxiety is in our gut, our digestive system. Our small and large intestines and our stomach, and the other 10 to 20% is in our brain. Now, here are three things, if you're taking notes, here are three things that we can do to reduce or eliminate anxiety in this physical body that God created. Now, okay? And I want to do this message because I know how much people suffer. Even sitting in the church pews, especially women, no offense, ladies, but you know, you get to that certain point, that certain level of life and anxiety, you know, and the devil can whip you up about that really bad. So I'm going to teach this morning, so you'll hang with me. Three things that we can do to help reduce the anxiety. And if you don't suffer with it, please take notes because you can help your sister or your brother or your neighbor or your coworker. Feel me? Oh, back in class now. Feel me. Oh, what am I doing, Gary? Three things. And this might seem very basic to you, but we're talking about the physical stuff. And some of you are going to be insulted as soon as I say this, so just hang with me. You know, put your pride over here and let me do my thing. Okay, number one, physical. Drink more water. Number two, reduce or eliminate bad sugar. And number three, exercise. Again, God got a hold of me when I'm doing this message, and so I'm convicted, just as some of you may be. And, you know, time will tell, but God straightened me up here. Drink more water, reduce or eliminate bad sugar, and exercise. Now, when God formed us from the dust, He created the skin. He created these muscles. He created these ligaments and tendons and joints and bones and these internal organs and gizzards. Are young folks say gizzards real loud? No, young people. It's like gizzards and guts. Right? And all these 11 or 12 systems that we have up, you know, you biologists out there. But we need to understand and work with what God gave us. And how He made us as a human being. Now, I'm a little side note here. I'm going to share with you one of the biggest myths about anxiety. And I hope I don't step on anybody's toes, but I've just been there and done that. Most psychiatrists, and I'm not hating on psychiatrists. I've got one psychiatrist as a friend, and I know a couple, maybe two, in Valdosta that I would recommend somebody to. So there's good Christian psychiatrists out there, and sometimes we need to go see, you know, someone like that, a doctor. But most psychiatrists, this is the myth, most psychiatrists want you to believe that anxiety is only a mental health disorder. It's only a mental health disorder. And that's partially true. Yes, it is a sort of a mental health issue, but it's more about biology, it's more about our stomach and our gut. That's what it's really about. Now, these certain psychiatrists want you to believe that it's all 100% mental health disorder. And mainly, it's so they can continue building insurance and make that $200 or $300 a session. And then pharmaceutical companies can continue making billions of dollars creating a medication for every single thing. Now, I know this sounds like a conspiracy theory and maybe even a soapbox, but I've personally watched this happen many, many times over the years. I want you to be an informed consumer in this area. Now, here's a warning for you. If you feel the need to go see a psychiatrist, and we're talking about not a psychologist or a therapist, a psychiatrist, medical doctor, if you decide you need to do that, consult with me, right? Talk to me. I've got experience in this area. I'm not a doctor, but I did sleep with a Holiday Inn Express last weekend. You guys old enough to remember that? If you do go see a psychiatrist, if they do not take your blood work, if they do not take your blood work and do a full blood work on you and look at what's really going on, you need to go see someone else. Because that is a good sign that they really don't care about you. Okay? If they do a simple blood work on you, they may find something that explains the anxiety. And they may offer you a holistic approach or maybe a lifestyle change. I've seen so many clients in my years that has nothing but a vitamin E deficiency or something else going on with a vitamin or a mineral or some kind of organ, and they could fix it holistically or change in diet and that kind of thing. Again, not hating on that at all, but just be warned. The latest research shows, remember, we're talking about the physical part here, so y'all bear with me. The latest research shows that a large majority of anxiety comes from inflammation caused by stress. And most stress comes from an inactive lifestyle, toxins, and what? Poor diet. As we all know, we need to take care of our bodies. The Bible tells us this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. 6:19, 1 Corinthians, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. Now, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, up to 60% of our human body is water. 60%. The brain and heart are composed of 73% water. Our lungs, 83% water. Our skin, 64%. Our muscles and kidneys, 79%. And even our bones are 31% water. Remember, God made us of the dirt, breathed into our nostrils life, and created a human being. God knows what we need. Each day, humans must consume a certain amount of water to function on an average level. They say it's around 2 liters. As I said earlier, neuroscientists tell us around 80% of our anxiety comes from our gut, our digestive system, and the other 10 to 20% from our brain. Now, here's another one. Everyone is aware if we consume too much sugar, our bodies will have an adverse reaction. Well, some of the leading doctors and paleo scientists believe that sugar can cause the fight or flight to kick in abundance and have an abundance of epinephrine pumping into our body, mainly our stomach. And epinephrine, we know, is adrenaline. It's adrenaline. So we put all this bad sugar into our body, okay? Our digestive system recognizes and our midbrain starts firing off epinephrine. Our midbrain up there, the survival that God created, is starting to fire off saying, get this out of me. Get this out of me. So it creates this feeling of adrenaline that starts flowing up. And if you don't do something with that, if you don't exercise, if you don't do something, just, you know, like I go for a run or do push-ups or something like that, you will have an uncomfortable feeling that will come up in you and make you feel very uncomfortable. Probably 20 to 40% of the ladies know what I'm talking about. You can have an anxiety attack or even a panic attack. Remember, anxiety is about the inside. Panic is about the outside. If you have an anxiety attack, you feel like you start shaking inside and you start... A panic attack is on the outside. You lose control of your body functions. You'll start shaking. Saliva starts coming out of your mouth and you can't focus and you'll shake. Sometimes you can have both. Ladies, if you feel this, it's like your body telling you, I need to do something. So go drop down on the floor and do push-ups. Go for a walk. Go for a run. Remember, we're talking about the physical part right now, so give me a few more minutes. Let's remember our message from John 14:27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The key words is accept his peace. Don't allow your soul to be anxious. And don't let it be afraid. This is what Jesus says. If we struggle with anxiety, or we want to prevent it from getting the best of us, listen to Jesus. Listen to your body. Don't allow. This is what Jesus says. Don't allow bad sugar to get into your body. Don't allow your body to get dehydrated. Drink plenty of water, cut out the bad sugar, and exercise, and it will help you so much reduce or even eliminate anxiety. I've seen it happen many times over the years. You'd be surprised. You think, water? Just drinking a lot of water will help my anxiety go away? It will help. Now, here are a few things we can do to reduce or eliminate anxiety in the mental area. Okay, y'all ready? In the mental area, which is the 10 or 20%. Now, anxiety at the mental level is usually a thinking problem. Not always, but most of the time it's a thinking problem. A person can learn to quickly recognize when they are thinking negatively or thinking wrong or even thinking pessimistic, you know? And we can change it. We can capture that and we can change it so we get a better result in our thinking. That's why 2 Corinthians is so important in walking in victory in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We cast down arguments or imaginations. We cast down arguments and imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Here it is, plain and simple. If you have a thought, feeling, or imagination that's causing you to want to do something wrong or bad or negative or sin, we need to take that thought captive. Well, you're not going to make it. Your son's going to die in a car accident tonight. Your grandchildren, they're not going to make it. God's not going to take care of you. You're going to end up bankrupt. You're going to end up... All these negative things, the devil's shooting these fiery darts at us. If you find yourself with a thought like that, any thought, feeling, or imagination that's causing you to capture that. That's what the Bible says, capture it. Whoa, wait a minute. No. God said He would never leave me and never forsake me. Now, the only way to gain peace in the midst of anxiety is to turn to God. Trusting, everybody listen to this, trusting in His perfect will and His power to hold us in His hands. The best way to remember this truth is to look to the Word of God. Here are some verses. I want to share some verses with you to help you with anxiety. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." See, we don't have to be anxious when we can freely talk to God. We can share our needs with Him. We can share our concerns. We can share our worries with Him. We can cry out to God, and He hears us. Peace is a wonderful thing. Notice in our original text where Jesus says, "I do not give it as the world does." So we have to remember that the worldly peace is only temporary. But God's peace is forever. Can I say amen? God's peace is forever. You see, He will give us peace that surpasses all understanding. That's part of the three. Accept His peace. Accept it. He gives it to us. Everybody repeat after me. Father, I accept Your peace. One more time. Father, I accept Your peace. Isaiah 41:10. Says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That motivates me. I don't know if that does you. Not only will God give us peace, but He will also strengthen us. Think about it. The image of God upholding us with His righteous right hand. That is powerful. And it's very comforting. Psalms 94:19. Listen to the way this is worded. In the multitude of my anxieties, within me, your comforts delight my soul. I'm going to read it again. Please listen. In the multitude of my anxieties within me. In the multitude. What does that mean? I've got a few things going on in me. I've got a few anxieties. I've got a few worries and concerns and fears. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul. It delights my soul. Anxiety can make us sad, can make us upset. But knowing that God is within us and with us can bring us much joy. Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from my fears. Oftentimes fear can make us feel trapped. But God can set us free. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Love this verse, and I'm sure you do too. It says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You see, God cares about each one of us. He loves you, and He cares about you, and He cares about your children and your grandchildren. He loves you. God cares about us so much that He allows and He wants and He encourages us to cast our worries upon Him and lay it on His shoulders. In your private time, if you have to literally take your hands like this and say, God, I can't worry about this no more. I can't deal. I'm just going to give this to You. Just do your hands light up in the air and just close your eyes like you're imagining you're giving this to the Lord. You're giving it to Him. Sometimes we may need to talk with one another. We may need to get with some of our brothers and sisters in the Lord and encourage each other and talk and share. Maybe even there's times when we need to talk about some things that we've done. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Isaiah 43:13, which is our memory verse. It's our memory verse for the week. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not. I will help you. Guys, when we feel anxious and afraid, we can take comfort in knowing that God is reaching out His hand to us to help us, to help us trust Him, and to help us walk with Him. And while anxiety can feel overpowering at times, we must trust God. Trust His Word, His never-ending, never-changing love, His peace, and His grace is sufficient for us. You see, Jesus is encouraging us in this Scripture. Our original text is to take personal responsibility. We have to take personal responsibility and not allow anxiety and worry and fear to enter into our lives. Sometimes it's just as simple as trying to take care of these old human bodies and do the right thing. And sometimes it's just as simple as trusting the Word of God. I encourage you to be people of simple faith. Just simple faith. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible loves me so. And then there are times we may need to talk to a friend, or maybe there's times when we need to talk to a counselor or a therapist or your family doctor, and that's okay. Some folks really do need to take medication. That's okay. I have to wear glasses because I have a problem with an organ in my body. Right? I don't wear these glasses because I have a spiritual problem or a psychological problem or a social problem. I wear them because I have a biological problem with an organ in my body. Some people have a biological problem with an organ in their body and their brain, and maybe their little neurotransmitters are not firing right, and they may need medication. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. And sometimes we just need to talk. If anyone ever needs to talk with me, please. I'll give you my cell phone number. You can call me anytime. I'm going to end this with Ephesians. When I first started, you know, first called me as a pastor, I ran across this and loved it. And we talked about it Wednesday night in Bible study, and I remembered it again. And Paul prayed for his people. Here's what Paul said in Ephesians 1, 15 through 18. And I think about you guys. This is what Paul said. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, so it just reminded me of you guys when we first started pastoring here. It just reminded me of you, you know, such good people. I had a friend the other day say, Dallas, you're like spoiled, man. This preacher friend of mine. He said, you're appalling, man. You're spoiled, man. God's just spoiling you. I don't know how you got that deal. He did. He really did. He said, they're great people, man. They love the Lord. They're mature and they don't have no problems or issues that I know of anyway. He was like, you know how preachers want to talk to you like that sometimes. I just go on, leave me alone. Ephesians 1. Here it is. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called, His holy people, who are rich and glorious inheritance. Amen. Remember, if you ever need to talk to somebody, please call me, text me, Facebook message me, right? Or email me. If you email it, what is it, Derek? Pastor at? Yeah, that, or Dallas Bennett at Gmail. That's easy to remember, my name. Dallas Bennett at Gmail. Or call me. If you need my number, let me know. Please. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you that you do give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, there's here one this morning that has never experienced that peace, has never experienced that personal relationship that they can have with you. Lord, I pray that they'll come down during the song of invitation and give their life to you. I'd be glad to pray with them. Lord, if there's one here today that's having some problems, anxiety, or some kind of emotional problem, Father, they'll come to the altar and we'll be glad to pray with them. And we're not going to embarrass them or act goofy or do something dumb. We just want to pray with them and love on them and tell them that we're here and we support them. We're not here to judge or, well, we all got problems. Every person in this room, Lord, we know that. And we all got issues and struggles and things going on in life with family and friends and the whole areas of life. Well, we desperately need you. We're a broken people in desperate need of a Savior. In Jesus' name, Father, we love you. Amen.